Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Hour number four of our show. Welcome back. Thank you very much for being with us. I'm Bill Shanks. Russ Brown is off today. And he'll be back with me tomorrow. We'll be at the Steakhouse in Hawkinsville. Are you folks down there in Hawkinsville and Eastman and Cordell, come see us tomorrow. Come make plans right now as you're driving home to come to the buffet tomorrow at the Steakhouse in Hawkinsville. I hope Lewis has some scrimps for me tomorrow. He cooked some fried scrimps for us. They were delicious. I'm sending out the bat signal there to Lewis. I'd love some fried shrimps tomorrow. They were so good, and the buffet's tomorrow, so I'm gonna eat supper here in a little bit, and then I'm not eating until I get there tomorrow at 2:30 rather. I'm gonna be plenty hungry. He's got the great buffet on Thursday. He also has the Mother's Day buffet coming up on Sunday, so don't forget about that. But we'll be there tomorrow. We'll be having a good time with Lewis, and come on in and say hello. Come have the buffet, and it's great food down there in Hawkinsville, and hope to see all of our friends down there as well. So we'll be down there. And look forward to that. Russ will be back with me tomorrow. And we're both getting better. He gave me his cold, so he's had to sit in for me the last couple of days and do both shows. So I gave him the day off. And I'm getting there. Feeling better. Feeling better than a sound. But it's quite a bug here. Did a little summer colds here, pain in the butt, you know that. Front lines are open at 478-646 ESPN and at Bill Shanks on Twitter. All right, couple of things. Braves have called up Kyle Wright to take the place of Grant Dayton because they need a long reliever for tonight. Remember last night when Max Fried came out early after the first inning, Josh Tomlin had to come in and pitch four innings, and therefore he's unavailable tonight. So the Braves needed someone as their long guy and brought up Kyle Wright, who was scheduled to start tonight for Gwinnett, was yanked from that start and sent to L.A. So if something happens with Folty, he'll be the one that will come in. Folty versus Kershaw tonight in what should be a very good game. Hopefully it'll be a good game. Last night's game was awful, 9-0. Max got hurt. He's okay. But the Braves need a win tonight to salvage one game of this three-game series. Also, just saw this from Wojo on Twitter. Negotiations between the Lakers and Tyronn Lue have reached an impasse that a deal to make him the franchise's next head coach. League sources tell ESPN. I am so glad. Did you ever think you would say, if you can say this, that you're more happy to be a Hawks fan than a Lakers fan? Can you imagine being a Lakers fan and having to deal with the drama of that bull crap out there? I mean, first of all, Tyronn Lue, give me a break. You got to be kidding me. And second of all, now he's turned him down, so what the heck are they going to do? And this LeBron stuff, oh, my God. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Why would you want to go to play there? Why, if you were an NBA free agent and you had the pick of three teams, all had the same money on the table, and the Lakers wanted you to come play with LeBron, why in the world would you go play with that guy? Why would you want to go be play? And I can't imagine playing in that place is probably unbelievable, playing in front of those people, in front of the crowd, in that fan base. But why would you want to go be part of that drama with that crap going on right now? Now they have no coach. Monty Williams has gone to Phoenix. He was the other one they were looking at, the former New Orleans coach, who was, I think, with Philadelphia as his assistant. Now he's going to Phoenix, so their other guy that they were looking at. So who are they going to? What are they going to do? Bring back Dale Harris? Crazy, crazy world. 6 days away from the draft lottery. Can't wait for that. Excited about that. Kevin McAlpin just tweeted a moment ago, spoke with Max Fried a short time ago, said he thought the ball was hit harder than it was. Ball just missed his glove hand as he tried to protect his head. Good news, left hand feels much better today, and he's optimistic he can start his next game on Sunday in Arizona. That is good news. Very, very good news. All right, 478-646 ESPN. Jeremy in Memphis is with us. Hey, sir, how are you?
Hey, Bill. I want to talk Braves and then a little Georgia and maybe the draft as well. But as far as the Braves goes, I got another another pitching prospect in the Braves organization I want to mention who's done well his last two starts. Can you think of who I'm talking about?
Last two starts, let me think. What level?
Single A.
Yeah, Nolan Kingman.
Yes. Did you see the start? Now, last night he had another great start, basically gave us nothing. But the start before last, nine innings, a shutout ball, an 85-pitch complete game. Yeah. And I don't think he walked anybody. I think he struck out like eight or something. And 85 pitches, he threw 85 pitches, only 26 balls out of 85 pitches in that game. And then yesterday
there was some scout last night at the game, or some writer, not a scout, a writer that I follow on Twitter. I can't remember his name now. And he was at that game last night, and he was talking about his stuff, and he throws harder than I thought. He said he was throwing, you know, up to 95, 96. So, I mean, that's interesting. He's a college pitcher who – he was in the College World Series last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, didn't we get him in, like, the 5th or 10th round, somewhere right in there last year? It didn't look like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but I mean, he's a college pitcher, and you know his brother's the Pirates guy. So he's interesting though. He's an interesting one to keep an eye on for sure.
I would think he'd be in Florida much longer if this continues. Some other guys that pitched well lately. Weigel's pitched well his last couple appearances. Jeremy Walker, didn't he pitch well yesterday?
Yep. Yeah, they both pitched well. Well, I'm glad Weigel. I think they're really going slow with Weigel, which is good. I mean, you know, no point in rushing him. I mean, let's see what he does for the whole year if we have to, and see him in spring training next year. But I think we're getting better results from him, which has got to be good. I hope his stuff has been good too.
What do you think about Walker? What do you think about his possibilities?
You know, Walker's always been one of those guys. He's a big, tall guy, but he doesn't overpower you. But I saw him in spring training, and I was a little bit more impressed with him than I remembered being last year. It's just his ability to get people out. I don't know whether he's not a starting candidate compared to the rest of them for sure. So, you know, are they grooming him with this kind of piggybacking him with Weigel to be a reliever? I mean, I wonder about that. But, yeah, he's done well. I'm happy for him because remember last year he had some weird – or was it 2 years ago? He had some weird stats, and his strikeout numbers have always been low, though, always been low.
Yeah. And Drew Waters, what do you think his potential is? Could he be, like, really, really, really good in the major leagues? Or what do you think his potential is?
Well, you know, he's off to an unbelievable start in AA. I mean, when you're 20 years old and you're hitting .349 and leading the Southern League by 20 points in batting average, I mean, you're just off to a ridiculous start. And it's amazing of what he's doing, to be honest with you. But I try to think of who he could be like. I mean, he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of speed, but yet he's a good base runner, I've heard. He's an excellent defender. And, I mean, and maybe the speed part's just kind of one of those weird things, but I don't know how many, you know, they say Pache, and I don't know if you heard Callis earlier, you know, Pache is looked at as a 2020 guy. I don't know if Waters is looked at as someone like that, or is Waters more of a batting average guy? I mean, is this a guy that's going to hit 300 plus and maybe just play that elite? I mean, is Waters more of a Ender Inciarte type than Pache is, with Pache being even better than what Inciarte's become?
Well, see, I think he runs the base as well, so maybe he has deceptive speed or something.
Right.
Because I think he's a good base runner. I don't think he's got poor speed, but I think he's
correct.
Yeah, something like that, maybe, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't mean to say that he's not fast. He doesn't have a whole lot of stolen bases so far. And so, you know, I think Pache got his, like, sixth stolen base today. I don't think Waters has got one or two, maybe even not one. But I mean, Waters, did you see that swing on that tweet last night, Jeremy?
I didn't see it.
Go to my Twitter account. Go to @BillShanks and you know, a couple of tweets down, and you'll see the retweet. Or you can go to @MississippiBraves, whatever their Twitter account is, and they've got a his left-handed swing, and it's kind of getting into focus as the pitch was made from the third base dugout. And his swing on the walk-off home run he had was unbelievable. It was beautiful. It was a great, great swing. So this kid, he's got great potential. I can't imagine, and this is something I probably should not ask Jim Callis about because he's so heavy in the draft right now, but I wonder, J.J. Cooper may know this, does any franchise right now have four better position players than the Braves with Austin Riley, Christian Pache, Drew Waters, and William Contreras? I'm sure somebody does, but damn, that's half your lineup for the next decade if they all continue to do what they're doing, which is pretty – that's unusual for a team to be able to say that.
Well, you know, and I did hear the Callis interview, and what you talked to him about was pretty interesting. But you start looking at the future of this team and what we're going to need. I mean, I can only see a couple positions, really, that you could question. You can't question the outfield, obviously. You can't question third base. You can't question second. But and probably not first. I mean, I think a couple of years now you could start drafting a guy for first base. Maybe it's 3 or 4 years away. Because, you know, Freeman's at least halfway through his career, if not further down the road. But I think that a couple of spots could be shortstop. Or you could say catcher, but you just don't know about Contreras. I mean, he may be good, but you don't know for sure. But, I mean, Dansby's hitting about 250, 260 this year. I mean, he got off to a hot start. He hit, didn't hit very well last year. He may be consistently a 250, 260, maybe a 270 hitter. But if you see a shortstop there, you think it'd be a great shortstop, draft him. I mean, that's one position that maybe in the future you're not sure about. I'm more sure about the outfield second and third than I am long-term 5 or 6 years from now, shortstop or catcher, you know. So, I mean, shortstop still might be a question if you want to draft for a shortstop.
Let me ask you a question, and I know he played second, not short. But could Dansby Swanson be an Ian Kinsler type?
Yeah, I think he can be. It's just that I guess when you debate on what you need, what position you need,
right?
I'm just kind of searching for the weakest link, you know. But yeah.
I know. I'm just, you know, Kinsler came to my mind. I'm sitting here watching the Padres and Kinsler's playing with them, but it's like, you know, Kinsler's had a really good career. He's awful this year, but I mean he's had for Texas and Detroit, he had a really good run and some really good seasons. And, you know, I mean, he went up to 31 home runs, which, I mean, hell, Dansby's on pace for that this year. I don't know if he's a 30 home run a year guy, but for the most part, Kinsler was more of in the high teens to around 20. I guess, let me see, from if we go, well, even through last year, he averaged 19 home runs in his career and around 80 RBI. I just wonder if Dansby could be kind of compared to Kinsler in a certain way, which is not a bad player by any means. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the needs for this team long-term, I mean, I that made me understand why Jim took the Baylor catcher. I mean, I worry about that because, I mean, I just think that kid is a – I don't know. I don't know how good of a hitter he is. You don't want to take a defensive catcher – and this sounds bad. This is going to sound bad, what I'm going to say. I don't want to take another Tyler Flowers, who was lauded for his plate framing, pitch framing, with the number 9 pick in the draft. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I agree. And I agree with that, too. I mean, here's the two points about the draft. Number one, usually you see a lot of high-end high school pitchers that go in the first 15 picks. I'm not seeing hardly. I mean, the two shortstops are high school kids, but they're shortstops. And you see virtually no high school pitchers going in the first 10 picks, I don't think, which is unusual. And then the other thing is, I've seen two mock drafts that both have Atlanta drafting that pitcher out of West Virginia that has a huge strikeout to inning ratio. And forget his name, starts with the M. But I've seen two mock drafts that's drafted the Baylor. Well, I saw one drafting the Baylor guy. I saw one drafting the Arizona State kid who Callis doesn't think will fall to us. And I've seen two drafts with us drafting the West Virginia pitcher. So maybe that West Virginia pitcher is somebody to look at. I mean, he may be the highest-rated college pitcher, but it's weird not to have any.
I've been told the only pitcher they really like at number 9 is, if there's a possibility, is the JUCO kid out of Texas, Jackson Rutledge. And Zach Thompson, the kid out of Kentucky, is another possibility. He's not out of the question at number 9.
I've watched him this year play Georgia and some other teams. He's tough, Bill.
Yeah,
he shut everybody down.
Yeah, when I heard about some interest in Thompson, I actually asked friend of mine who covers UGA baseball, and he shut Georgia down like on March 29th and said that kid's really good. So
yeah, and I heard Banzer say yesterday that it looks like Emerson's going to pitch Saturday. It's what he's hearing. So we'll see good. What Tricklin says tomorrow. But it looks like Emerson's back and going to pitch Saturday against Auburn instead of Friday.
Good.
So
good.
That's what I'm hearing. Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right, yes, sir. Thank you. Got it. Georgia's got to get Emerson back. There's no doubt. I know they've been careful with him, and I understand that. But, you know, it's getting kind of late here. And the like I said earlier with Jim Callis, the longer that Emerson is out, the more questions are going to be asked about whether or not he's going to be able to be worthwhile to have in the postseason. So Georgia needs to get him back for sure. All right. Just a couple minutes left in this segment here. Again, the Braves and the Dodgers tonight, 8:55 pregame show. Fulton needs to pitch well. We need to see a good Fulton performance. Now, I know they're playing Kershaw. I don't know what to expect. Who knows? My God. I mean, he's Kershaw. He's not, you know, he's had issues, obviously, some health issues. He's not as a dominant automatic loss as he has been in the past, but he's still Clayton freaking Kershaw, you know, so you got to be careful about that. And this offense needs to get off the schneid after last night, and Ryu just absolutely killed them. I mean, he had a perfect game through five until Flowers got the single to start the sixth inning, and he still got the shutout. And the Braves need to get going. I mean, they're 7-11 against teams with a winning record, so they need a good win against a good team like the Dodgers and a good pitcher like Kershaw. Hopefully, Fulte can have a good game. He needs a good game. He needs a good outing and to show that he's back. And plus, the Braves, with what happened last night with Max, even though Josh Tomlin pitched four innings and they brought up Kyle Wright to be right behind Fulte, they don't need to worry about a short stint tonight. They need a good performance by their starting pitcher, and hopefully they'll get that with Mike Fulton-Evers. Who's hot? Who's cold, baby? Brought to you by Pruitt. Air conditioning, of course, the bullpen. We have to say the bullpen's kind of hot right now, right? They are doing better with a good performance last night for the most part. Jerry Blevins did give up the four runs, but he's been impressive overall. Dan Winkler did well. Jacob Webb did well again. Grant Dayton did well. So we're seeing some improvement in that bullpen, and that is a good thing to see for sure. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll see how the bullpen does bounce back. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk more Braves baseball about the Kevin Gausman suspension. Also, more about those kids in the minor leagues who could be a factor for the Braves at some point for the rest of this season. We're talking about Austin Riley and the two 20-year-olds in Double-A, Pache and Waters. We'll take a break. Back with more sports talk here on this Wednesday evening in Middle Georgia right after this.